The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So on the line with me this morning is the former minister under the People's Partnership Government, the former Minister of Roads and Transport, Stephen Cadies. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fair to find, and I'm happy to have you on the line with me this morning. Now, the reason why we touch base with you today, sir, on page 10 of our Guardian of the People, there is a story with you on that page dealing with the demerit point system, which was part of the PNM's legislation. So I want you to clear the air on that because, you know, it was said that a lot of persons have it in their mindset that the UNC thought about this and the People's Partnership brought it on, and they don't understand the historical facts surrounding the evolution of this demerit point system. You took office, your government, the former government, the People's Partnership, took office in 2010. When you got into the seat of the Minister of Works and Transport, share with our listening audience what you inherited.
All right, well, let me just correct one thing. It was the Ministry of Transport.
Transport, sir.
Works and Transport.
You're correct. Right. They had changed
it. This bill is very, very long in coming. Okay, it's an extremely comprehensive bill, and it stretched over two administrations. So, as far as I'm aware, it was actually introduced not to the Parliament, but work started on it during the Manning administration, and when the People's Partnership came in, obviously we inherited some of the work that was already done. The bill itself is an extremely comprehensive bill that would bring the transportation industry into the 21st century, and hence the reason there were a number of clauses there that required a special majority, which we had in the lower house in the People's Partnership. And then when we took it to the Senate, it stalled in the Senate. And basically, we ran out of time. Parliament was prorogued, and the election was called in, I think, September of that year, in 2015. So the issue of the demerit points, that is an international transportation standard. Okay, it's not something that is unique for Trinidad. However, it is felt in some circles that maybe getting a fine of X dollars, and the fines are substantial. In addition to that, you're now being saddled with demerit points. So where this whole demerit point system became a problem, I'm not too sure, okay? But the current administration says they want to remove the demerit point system. So they'd have to go back to the Parliament and change the legislation.
But do you think they have the majority to get the vote to do this? Can they do it on their own, or do they require?
Yes. The current administration, like in 2010, has a constitutional majority.
So they can make this happen. Now, understanding that this demerit point system was, you inherited it, it was inherited off of the PNM administration.
Well, I wouldn't say the whole the bill that the Manning administration had was not completed by any means. So the People's Partnership put an awful lot of work into bringing it to a place, well, bringing it to the Parliament. So a lot of work went into it.
So then the PNM, now the UNC administration then was led by the Honorable Kamala Prasad Bisesel as Prime Minister. She is now back at the helm for a second stint in office as Prime Minister, and she's now sorting to scrap this idea. Now, from your understanding...
Well, she's not talking about scrapping the bill. Huh? She's talking about making the change in the demerit point system.
Okay.
So it's not a case of pulling the entire bill back. You're just taking one or two of the clauses in the bill that speaks to the demerit points and making changes to that.
Making changes, so the headlines scrap the demerit points. Now, you would have had good understanding on this, and I would ask that you speak to some form of clarification as to persons in some sectors that you rightfully mentioned a few moments ago said that the bill or the demerit points and the hefty fines, it's almost as though you're getting licks two and three times for one offense. Why do we say that? We get a ticket, for example, for driving on the priority bus route. Somebody gets a ticket. It's carrying a hefty sum of $2,000 and 6 demerit points. Now, you pay $2,000, you have 6 points. It happened to you in January. That 6 points stays on your license for 24 months. If you do not commit any further infractions, then at the end of the anniversary date to which you got the ticket 24 months ago is when it will be removed. However, they say that habitual offenders who get caught is the ones they're trying to rehab. But not playing devil's advocate, fact could be this. A person gets a ticket in January 23 months ago, and they didn't drive on the route. They ain't go on it, they stay away, all right. And almost 23 months later, because of some, maybe rain fell, somebody was sick and they tried to rush up the road quick, they take a chance again. 23 months later, and get a next ticket. You know that person could go for, not they could, their license would be suspended for 6 months, and they would have now incurred 12 points. That's 2 tickets in 23 months. They ain't got nothing before that. And that person can be considered a habitual offender, repeated, continuous offender. They make it sound bad, and then they charge you, at the time was $2,500. Now I think it's $1,250 for this rehabilitation course. Then when you get back here, when you pass the exam in 2 days, you're losing 2 days work because it's 8-hour courses you're going on. You then have to pay $35 to $40 to get a provisional permit, and then pay a $300 to one of them schools in the license offices, please, to then take a 5 to 8 minute drive around the block and then come back to get back your license.
I mean, the way you're describing it there...
No, that's not a description. That is fact.
I know, but the way you put it forward, I agree, it sounds very onerous. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you could call it wrong. You know, but the issue also is, what do we do? How do we bring sanity back to the road? How are you going to do that? I mean, it's Trinidadian drivers are very how to put it, boy. As far as they are concerned, the law is for somebody else. It's not for me.
Never for them.
All right, and therefore you have to bring sanity back to the road, onto the roads in this country. And I mean, people who drive on the highways and what have you, every single day you see the infractions, every single day. So I agree that it might be too onerous, but I also agree, come up then with another way of getting people in line.
Now, for me, this is me, right? We could reinstitute highway patrols, static positions where police officers... People say, why do I have to put police officers on the road? I think we are about prevention better than the... If this is coming up the highway and they know bike men patrolling, they tend to stay in line. If that is the kind of... that slave master thing where the master out there with the whip and you go stay in the fields and do your job, then that's fine with me. At least we'll prevent errant drivers. We'll prevent persons making dangerous drives in terms of driving down the shoulder, hustling, because every time they take the shoulder, it's a hustle because they don't want to get caught. So they're speeding down quick to try to get back in line or to get off the road. So all those things will be prevented if we have more highway patrols rather than take away someone's license because of errant driving. I'm just saying, have these things ever been looked at? Do you think
that bill had all the original bill that we presented in 2015. We were going to revolutionize the way in which we operated on the roads using computers and on overpasses and what have you, whereby in other words, for instance, your vehicle would have a particular tag that the sensors on the overpasses could read the tag. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if it is that you were constantly speeding, You didn't have to wait for a speed trap or to wait for a police officer with a gun, a speed gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You would just automatically pick you up.
Right.
Okay. And I think something like that, people soon realize, I can't get away with it.
Right. And then another thing, I don't know, I am by no stretch a legal mind, but I'm just thinking, you get your ticket. At some point, you have to come to renew this license. And I think if persons don't pay the tickets in a timely manner and you add on your percentage, your I think it was 25%, and then further on to that is another 25%, bringing the total to 50%. You don't pay it. Okay, it caps there. Your license is flagged. So if you had to renew in 5 years or in 10 years, when you get there to do your renewal, well, you can't get back your license until you clear your tickets. This is what is on the system. You have to pay this, pay your tickets, and then you can be reinstated with a renewed license. Could that be an option as well? Because you want them to pay. You want the persons to pay. That is the bottom line. You committed the offense, pay for it.
When you say to pay the fine.
Pay the fine. You committed the offense, pay the fine. Another thing, maybe, could I'm just saying, because I am not against the demerit points. I'm against the draconian and harsh way it was unleashed to the citizenry. The shortest possible time in, you're looking at 9 points as a threshold. The lengthy time it stays on somebody's driving record. That if another infraction is committed, as I said, 23 months later. 23 months. Could you consider that person habitual? No. This is 23 months. I mean, we are people and we run mistakes. So, you said that the People's Partnership tabled that bill and they put extensive work. When you saw that bill, as a former minister, when you saw that bill unleashed onto the citizens, your thoughts, please. It came from the PNM administration when they were in office for the last 10 years. They were the ones that instituted it. And you all would have...
No, they didn't institute it. They initiated it.
Initiated, that's the word.
In the Motor Vehicle Act, yes.
Right, and they rolled it out. Under their watch?
Never reached, no. When we came into office in 2010...
You left
it
where?
It up. That bill was not completed by any means.
When did
they
it...
Actually, they initiated it.
When did it reach completion?
It reached completion in 2015.
Right. And the PNM government unleashed it in 2020 or somewhere close to there, 2018, somewhere
correct.
There? Right. So 2018, 19, somewhere there is when it was put before the public and they started to do the campaigns. Edifying.
And again, I'm saying it was a watered-down bill that they bought. Yeah.
Okay. So when you saw this thing out there and you looked at what was happening in 2018, 19, and onward, up until now, was this the consensus of the People's Partnership? Is this the way the bill, under your stewardship, when you all pioneered it more or less and did the research on it, was this the end result you all were hoping for? What would the People's Partnership have done differently?
In fairness to the bill going to the Parliament, which again I say is it was an extensive bill, okay? Okay, it's only afterwards, for instance, you might say, well, you know, maybe we need to tweak this here, we need to tweak it there. All right, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is why you have the Parliament. You can go back to the Parliament and say we in hindsight we want to change this.
Mm.
But really and truly, Trinidadians have no respect for the road. They have no respect for the road. And if it is that you need a draconian bill to bring people in line and people to understand what has to happen, then so be it.
But even though the harsh realities or the onus of the bill came out, did it see a reduction in persons committing traffic violations? Because it's no longer a traffic offense. Eh? It's a violation now. It has been reduced.
No, I mean, I could tell you, I live in Maraval.
Mm-hmm.
There is not, I think there may be two yellow band taxis that operate in Maraval. Or every single other taxi is a white band
bus.
Maxi.
Yeah, I'm busing them, right.
Which is illegal. Okay, it's plain and simple. It is illegal to operate those buses. But yet still, the only buses operating in Maraval are illegal buses. So does that make it legal then?
No, well, maybe government should move to legislation to at least help the people. Because if you ain't getting nothing else legal to operate there, and people taking their private vehicle and trying to help out and make a dollar in the same, on the same instance, is it possible that the legal minds and lawmakers and political luminaries can look at you know, bringing legislation to Parliament to assist in certain areas and certain routes?
Well, that was part of the bill where we looked at it and said, you know, there are areas in Trinidad that are very, very remote, and therefore you're not going to have a regular taxi service. You have no bus service. How are people going to move around? Okay, so we had put in where we would have a rural taxi service. So in other words, if you have a car and you're coming out to go to your job in San Grande, for instance, and you're living in Matlot, you could pick up people on the way down, and then on the way back up, you could do the same thing. But that would be like a rural taxi service. You know, so there are things that the law can provide for. But outside of that is, again, I ask the question, how do you police the roads in Trinidad?
Well, I just gave one suggestion, and that is to make sure that you have visibility of police officers. If you have the TTPS traffic, maybe not the TTPS 100, but the wardens. I mean, we could employ
the
more
traffic wardens.
The wardens, have them more visible, change the uniform, make it more bright. I don't know, because maybe the Trans-Tobago Police Service is needed in other areas for crime and different things. But we have wardens, and I mean, as a former minister, I don't know if you can answer this question, but does licensed officers have the ability to arrest people? Good question,
Can I ask me a thing?
Well, as I say, I didn't show, because when I did my research on it, there was a video circulating where handcuffs came out for a motorist and licensed officers arrested the man and opened up the back of some van and put him in, like if it's police. And when I checked it, licensed officers are public servants, and they're not under that arm of the ministry where they can arrest. They don't have powers of arrest.
Yeah, well, I didn't think that they would have powers of arrest, but they have powers to remove your vehicle off your road.
Well, that I could understand that. But where do you get off putting handcuffs on people? But again, that is a little far-fetched for you this morning.
That's another discussion.
Another discussion all by itself.
Yeah.
So coming back very quickly as we close out our interview this morning on the demerit point system, I always advocate that it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I am asking you, do you think that the scrapping is the right way to go, or should the government really look at areas to improve the system, that it wouldn't be oppressive and harsh on persons?
Well, I think, like in all things, you can review it and take advice from others, and let's see what comes out of it. I don't particularly agree with the removing it completely, because again, how do you police the road system in Trinidad?
But then, how there was policing it before?
They wasn't.
They were.
Who's doing that?
Well, the demerit points in policing the roads. When you increase fines, you move from $200 on a bus route ticket, $200 to $2,000. You have already taken drastic that is not a 5% increase.
No, I know one individual that had $7,000 in fines that he couldn't pay. $7,000. And you didn't learn anything after the first $1,000.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there are other ways we can get that money in. You have to go and renew your license. You're bound to must come and renew it. There are 2 10-year offered, and I'm happy for that they move away from the 3 years. So you can either renew your license for 5 years, or you can do it for 10 years whenever you go to the office, right? Those are the two options available to you. $1,000, 10 years. $500, 5 years. You had to come. Unless you're dead, you must come to renew. And at that juncture, when you reach to renew, and we check the system that I would imagine is all computerized, we say, hey, but Mr. Cadiz, you had 3 tickets for the last 7 years that you did not pay. It accumulated. This is the interest. This is it. You're aware of that? Okay, this has to be paid before we can renew your license.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, there are other ways of policing it, the whole act. But again, people will always only start to think about it when they feel it in their wallet.
That's right. Real talk. Because when you take away a person's license because of points, if you tell me, listen, you get a ticket, here's the thing. You get a ticket. If you have 30 days to pay this ticket, if you don't pay this ticket in 30 days, your points will go towards your permit, right? Currently, that's the system. Yeah. Your point goes towards your permit. If you failed after the 30 days, threshold hits. Whether you don't pay the ticket, your point will hit, the system will accumulate the points. That's one. Two, your points goes on to the system immediately upon paying the ticket. So you get the ticket today, and tomorrow you go and pay, the points will hit one time. If you don't pay it for 30 days, the points will still come. I'm saying, if I pay my ticket in a timely manner, then I shouldn't be given the points. If I don't pay the ticket in a timely manner, then I still owe the state the money plus the 25%, and I will get the points that will stay with me for 6 months. Not 24 right. months. There are different ways. And then where does the threshold lies? 9 points? 9 points is a stretch. You can get it in, I'll tell you again, that in the amount of points accumulated for one ticket, you can get that in one ticket. If your vehicle is inspected, you gain 9 points, dies a day. One time, one ticket, and then you come and you get a phone ticket and use a habitual offender. Bam, you're gone.
Yeah. Well, that's it can be reviewed and look at the practicality of it. Really and truly, that is not overly onerous. Agreed, you want to bring people in line when using the roads, but it cannot be where it is just ridiculous. I agree with that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cadis, for chatting with me this morning on Freedom. Don't be a stranger. And thank you so much for the insight as to where this demerit point system is.
All right.
Have yourself a safe day.
Take it easy. All right. Do not speed when you're going home, huh?
No, well, I carpool in these days, so I get in a ride.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.